Yes, it is time for the fifth quarter, brought to you by Evergreen Power. You can count on them. Highway 41 and N in Little Chute. In studio with us, covers the team for Gannett Media, his podcast after further review, Eric Baranchek. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, man. How are you guys?
It is good to see you in studio once again. Packers, 2-0, beat up on the Commanders. What were your big takeaways from Thursday night?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway was yesterday for me. I mean, I went to bed Thursday night thinking, okay, first week you get the Lions. You know, it's new coaching staff a lot. You know, who knows where their path is going to be,
right?
And then you get Thursday night where the traveling teams generally don't do very good. I mean, by and large, on Thursday night, the traveling teams don't look very good. But yesterday, the Lions dropping 50-plus on the Bears.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
That was awesome. I mean, that just solidified in my head that, you know what, in these last 2 weeks, we did not see an apparition. We saw a defense that is there's a couple extra pieces there in the coaching staff. Obviously, a couple pieces extra on the personnel side, and they are playing really good football. And if you go back from the probably week 8 or 9 from last season, you saw a really improving defense that got a lot better. Had finished in the top 15 of the league, they started at the bottom, you know, the first couple weeks of the last season. And you saw everything. You see the pieces coming together. You see the run fits happening. You see, which is, you know, players in position to stop the run. And you see those things all coming together and guys from the secondary jumping in. There was a comment that Xavier McKinney made after the game that he's getting kind of bored back there because there's not a lot of balls going his way. And he's right. They're not, because you don't have the time.
Right.
You know, and to see this football team get home with four rushers is something that hasn't happened in a number of years since Clay Matthews, quite frankly.
And to do it consistently.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, not just every now and then, hey, that front four looks really good. It's just consistent pressure. Now, you mentioned one of the new pieces on defense. Of course, Micah Parsons. He continues to make significant impacts on the defense. I mean, he had 7 pressures. He drew 3 penalties, which maybe don't get as highlighted of the kind of impact a guy can make, but he affects things for the offense in multiple different ways.
For sure, for sure. And the first thing is protection, because if they don't keep in tight ends to chip them and running backs there to get them in case he gets by the old lineman, you're taking guys out from the passing game. You know, so you got 5, if you're in nickel, you got 5 defenders that got to only cover 3 guys. And the two, either the tight end, if they're staying in the block and the running back stays in the block, the best they can do is something in the flat. And that's what a defensive coordinator wants. Throw it to the flat, and we come up and tackle you. And that's how you design your defense. And, they're forcing offenses to do something different because of their personnel.
And you could tell with the Commanders, because what you saw was Jaden Daniels standing in the pocket, which is not something he wants to do under any circumstances. And surely enough, he wasn't getting anywhere with it.
And even when he would break out of the pocket, he couldn't get anywhere.
Right.
His legs just weren't effective.
Well, because, you know, last year he got, I believe it was 800 yards rushing, basically 50 yards a game rushing. Packers got him at 17. And a total amount of rushing yards of 51. So week 1, 46, 51 this week. And with the quarterback getting 17, that's very impressive.
That's not an accident.
Third and long is a great spot to be if you're a D coordinator, because you just that book of plays that you can open up is pretty big, and you can dial up whatever you want or whatever you think you're going to want to do there. It's not like 3rd and 2 where you got to play things close to the vest. You can let it rip. And yeah. D-backs, they love that situation, too, because they know what they're going to get. They don't have to come up and run support in 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7. They don't have to do that. So it makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, we talked about it after the first week of the year, but just that speed overall of the defense, whether some of them are bored in the back end or not.
Right.
They are all fast.
Correct.
And they fly. They rally to the football.
The one thing that football will tell you, if you have fast linebackers, you have a fast defense. because they are the ones that you know, you having some good fast D linemen are not as, it doesn't show up as much, but fast linebackers, that's what makes your defense fast. You know, everybody's secondary is fast, right? They're all 4-5, 4-6 guys, 4-4 guys. But when you have 4-5, 4-6 linebackers, that's a big, big deal. And it closes up gaps quickly. And when the quarterback wants to run, good luck. Have fun.
It's the fifth quarter with our special guest, Eric Baranchek. Switching to the offensive side of things, we are all in this room huge Tucker Kraft fans.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
And man, did he give plenty of reasons on Thursday Night Football for the country to be Tucker Kraft fans.
100%.
He is so much fun to watch.
Absolutely. And the way they're utilizing their tight ends, they've, you know, Matt LaFleur's offense has always been a double tight offense. That's what they like. They run, you know, everybody runs 11 personnel, one tight end and one running back, you know, and three wide receivers. They, you know, everybody does that. But to be effective at running two tight ends, you got to have two tight ends that can run. And you got Musgrave, Fitzpatrick can run a little bit, and then you got, obviously, Tucker Kraft, who is probably not the fastest of the bunch, but the most well-rounded tight end of the group right now. You know, he can block very well. So when you have two tight ends, a defense is thinking, all right, probably a run for formation, right? And the Packers were effective enough at doing that. And then on that big run that they had two tight ends to one side. So now you're thinking toss sweep, you're thinking hand sweep, something's going that way, and they brought a receiver in motion that way, which everybody's sirens are going up. It's a run coming to this side, and whoop, they go out and throw a deep pass, and that makes it really hard on defenses, because what do? Do you play a nickel and hope that you can tackle the running back, or do you stay in base and try to just, you know, duke it out? And it's hard because you got linebackers that got to chase. And when you have, you know, Bobby Wagner, the middle linebacker for the Commanders, which I can't believe I let that word out of my mouth, but it happened. I mean, he's a mismatch there. I mean, it's hard for linebackers to stick up with tight ends that can run, and it puts defenses in a position where they have to make a choice. Do I want to stop the run, or do I want to stop the pass? And so far, the last 2 weeks with the Lions and Washington, they've wanted to stop the run. Now, we'll see what happens as the season goes on. If defenses decide that, you know what, we're gonna weather the storm on the run, but we're going to try and take away the pass, or are we going to continue to take away the run and cross our fingers that they get a holding call and drop a ball or here or there? You know, some of those things can happen, or our pass rush gets to the quarterback, but that's a big gamble. It's either way, you're kind of wrong either way, whatever you decide with way the Packers offense is playing today.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft, the tight end position, I mean, 124 receiving yards, a touchdown. We were promised in the offseason that he was going to get more looks and be a bigger part of this offense. It does seem through the first couple of weeks that is holding true, and he's going to continue to be a major target for Jordan Love. But I get excited when he blocks. I love him as a blocking tight end.
Absolutely. Especially when they pull him, or they put him in motion, and then he picks up an end, and it's usually pretty darn good.
Yes! And he had a pancake block on a run that I was like screaming at the TV. I love tight ends that are complete and actually want to block.
Right.
And he wants to.
And coming out as his rookie year, that was his forte. It wasn't catching the football. Although in his mind, he was a receiving tight end, but what he really was a blocking tight end. And it took him and Musgrave time to develop into those type of players. And now in year three, you see it's kind of all put together, and it makes it really difficult on defenses when you have a tight end that can do both, that can catch the ball and block, because now it opens up a lot of different things, and it makes it difficult for safeties and linebackers, because, I got a double tight, it's got to be a run, and then they run two vertical tight ends. I mean, that's really difficult to cover.
Injury news. Hurt with Jaden Reed going down. They broken collarbone.
I said this when it happened. The cherry on top was that the play got called back.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
But that was what killed
it. What a pass and catch, though, too.
Yeah, it was incredible, too.
Yeah. But he goes down with that injury, but they do have a lot of other wide receiver weapons that are kind of waiting for more looks.
Oh, they got a lot of mouths to feed over on that side of the ball. That room is tight. And, you know, this was the season that personally I thought was going to be a great breakout year for Jaden Reed, because they got enough guys. They got Savion Williams that can run some of the jet sweet stuff, and they got Matthew Golden that can run the jet sweet stuff. So he could focus on being a receiver, and it was looking pretty good. And then after that play, that's a heartbreaker. That just popped a big balloon. But I think, you know, Tucker Kraft, Musgrave, they're gonna have to step up and take some of those catches. But then you got Wicks. I mean, he runs such great routes. It seems like he put the ping pong paddles away and he's catching better. You know, and Malik Heath, you know, that catch on the sideline to tap his toes, what a great play.
Yeah, it's nuts.
You know, so there's enough of emerging guys there where the loss probably will be mitigated. But certainly, what a big loss. And you're looking for that young man to have a really big year. And now it's going to fall on the shoulders of some other guys. And like you said, I think they got enough guys there to do it.
It's the fifth quarter with our special guest, Eric Baranchek, one of those guys, rookie Matthew Golden. His role maybe gets a little bit expanded with Jaden Reed going down. Man, he and Love were so close on that pass down the middle of a 90-plus touchdown. So close. He is so fast.
He is, and he's learning. So that ball that got knocked away in the end zone, that's the difference between an NFL receiver and like a really good college receiver. In the NFL, that receiver is going to come back to that ball. I mean, he's going to learn these things. He's got a lot to learn. And then it's at the worst case scenario, it's a PI, or maybe he catches it. So those things are just nuances to the game that these young guys have to take and have to make these steps. And I would expect that he's going to continue to do that. And the next time that happens, that he's going to really try and force himself to the ball. So that, again, when you got a buzzing cornerback like that, that's a pass interference all day long. So those are just the little nuances that aren't there yet because he's a rookie and hasn't seen enough. But he will, especially now he's going to get a lot more looks. So, you know, you should see a crescendo northward of what you can expect from him going forward.
And Savion Williams, too.
Wow.
He looks good out there.
Yeah.
How would you like to tackle that guy?
No way.
No, absolutely not.
Nope.
I mean, if he doesn't slip on that one, it's that might have gone for six.
Yeah.
I mean, you get this 6'4 guy barreling down the field, running 4'5. I'm not so sure I want to get in front of that.
No. I mean, yeah, he kind of looks like a gadget type, you know, that kind of a guy right now, but it looks like his role is just going to continue to evolve now.
Correct.
More opportunities.
Yes, and they can use him as bait now.
Yeah.
Right? You know, especially when he goes in motion, people are going to be thinking jet sweep, and then you can throw it to the other side. There's going to be a lot of things that opens up for them. But you know, obviously, they see the talent. That football team sees the talent of what that guy can do. So we're going to continue to see the gadget stuff and packages that are designed just for him until he gets a little bit more accumulated. And it might be 2 or 3 years before he's really out there running a lot of routes.
Also, man with the longest torso in the world, Savion Williams. My goodness, a very long torso. Yeah,
he's got a lot of talent. Speaking of a lot of talent, he said in the offseason he wanted to be DB1, CB1. Keyshawn Nixon had a really good night against Washington.
Quietly.
What have you seen from him over the first couple of weeks that gives you more confidence that, hey, he can handle that outside spot?
You go back to, he was brought in primarily for a punt kick returner.
Yeah.
That was his deal. And it was good. And said, you know what? I want to be cornerback number one. And son of a gun, he had 5 pass defenses. I can't remember. I think Jair Alexander, just 2 or 3 years ago when he had 5 in a game, but 5, and 2 of them were on third down that were get off the field, big plays. And, you know, that sort of confidence. But it all comes back to one thing, Micah Parsons. When you have that kind of confidence, it exudes through the entire team. Everybody on that side of the football is feeling good about the fact that they got Micah Parsons and he's doing the stuff that he does to affect the ball game. And that just elevates everybody's game. And certainly Nixon is definitely taking advantage of it.
Game 3 of the year is Packers, Browns. Are the Packers going to be 3-0 after Sunday?
I would think so, unless there's a catastrophic injuries, plural.
Injuries.
and by injuries, you mean the entire starting defense.
Yeah, right.
It has to be all 11 guys.
Or the quarterback goes down. And
oh, Jacobs no, not Ronaldo. Even that.
I don't even want to put that out there. But, yeah, you would think, I mean, if I'm Joey Flacco, I'm not feeling very good about, about what this week is going to look like.
Probably not.
Yeah. Rob is a diehard Browns guy.
And so when I tell you that the Packers are going to be 3-0 next week, believe me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the challenge for this football team is you believe that. Everybody expects that. They may expect it too. So a good football team goes out, takes care of business, and gets it handled. And it's not a nail biter. It's not a last minute field goal. I mean, you're going to get a couple of those through the season just because it's a long season. And to play at that emotional level is really difficult to do it for 17 games in a row. It's hard. But a good football team is going to go and take care of business. So this actually is a really good test for the Packers and to what kind of football team they are. Are they going to just now, they had a couple good weeks, they feel good about themselves. Are they going to go out and lay an egg? Or are they going to keep the pedal to the metal and get after it and put this team away early?
All right. That's the fifth quarter with our special guest, Eric Baranchek. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, great. Thank you for having me.
Fifth quarter brought to you by Evergreen Power. You can count on them. Highway 41 and N, Little Chute.